The date is Sunday, the 29th of August, 2010, and this is an interview with Mrs. Laura Lucas in Glasgow. Mrs. Lucas, can you tell us when and where were you born?
In Germany, in Krefeld, K-R-E-F-E-L-D.
And what was your name at birth?
Lindenbaum.
Ah, right. This was your surname. So, Laura Lindenbaum.
Correct.
When you were in Germany, before you came, in your family, who were the members of your family? Who did you live with?
My parents and my sister.
Was this an older sister or younger?
Younger.
Right. And what happened to your sister? Did she come out with you?
Whole family disappeared in different ways. A long story, I can tell you.
Can I just ask, when did you actually come? What year did you come?
38.
So did you come under the Kinder transport?
No, 36.
36 you came, right?
36, right. I can later on again.
Right.
So in Leamington Spa, where did you stay and who with?
Very comfortable. It was these people, it was their business to take students in to learn English.
Right, okay. But when you say these people, was this a family or was it
yes,
an organisation?
A family.
Right.
In a huge big house, very cold.
Were they Jewish people?
No, not Jewish. Not Jewish.
Right.
Not Jewish.
And how did you feel when you were there?
I can adjust very well. I tell you, a year later, my sister came to the same people. She hated it.
Right, so she had a totally different
Yes, she was
experience.
So constricted, I didn't mind.
Okay, so you were there, you said, for about 30 weeks?
Yes, I was here, I tell you, 3 times 10 weeks, which is quite important. After 10 weeks, you had to return to Germany. If you were away longer, your passport was confiscated.
Okay.
So I was there for 10 weeks, went there, came back. That was the reason why I didn't stay on.
So when you say you were there for 10 weeks, then after 10 weeks you went through to
Birmingham? Germany.
So you went back?
Yes, I had to. Otherwise the passport was taken.
Okay, so every time you went back to Germany and came back over again to England, did your aunt bring you over?
No.
The first time?
Only the first time.
Right, okay. So you were very young and you were travelling to another country
for the foreign language. But we all were.
Okay, so you said that you were 16 at this time, and then what happened between the age of 16 and 26 when you met your husband?
I can tell you exactly. When I went back to Germany in 1937, I stayed with my parents, but then I went to Geneva to do a course in maternity nursing, which lasted a year. Now I was coming on for 18. And I'm back in Germany. And my sister was also in Germany. Mm-hmm. She was still going to school. And our rabbi, with whom we were on very good terms, a very modern man, he came one Saturday afternoon to our house and said, "Is your sister in?" "Yes." "She has to leave this address immediately because the police are after her." "Why? What is the matter?" And this rabbi told me. A Jewish boy was traveling from Germany to Holland. And this all was very strict and he was investigated. And they found a diary. And they found in this diary that he had a close affair with my sister. But she was underage.
How old was your sister at that time?
16. Beautiful, beautiful girl. So this was not supposed to be done, obviously not. So immediately after the rabbi's advice, got her just out of the house as far as to friends in Cologne, that in case of police came, we could say she's not in. Mm-hmm. End of story. She never came back. From Cologne, she went straight to England, to London. And then my parents decided I better also go to London because they did not want her to roam about alone in London. So then we were both together in London.
Okay, so you joined her in London. And what happened with your sister?
My mother came to London early in September 39, just before the war, in August. The war broke out on the 3rd of September. She came to London in August with a view to buying a big house to be able to rent out as bed and breakfast. Again, that was something you could do without a permit. And my father would have some kind of an occupation, doing the books or whatever. Now, in the late days of August there, war was hanging over us, and you couldn't possibly buy a house. You didn't do that. So my mother and my sister, and we were in London. My father was in Holland. And my father kept on writing and phoning my mother should come back because of the threat of war. The next thing my father said, would she bring my sister back as well? And they left London.
All right.
The day war broke out on the 3rd of September at 10 o'clock. War was declared at 11 o'clock, and the first air raid alarm was at 12 o'clock. So on that very day, I met my husband at a friend's house. Very strange. This friend, who I'd known for donkey's years, phoned me up and said, look, I'm giving a sandbag filling party. The government came around very quickly with big vans and deposited sand every 30 yards and bags because we now needed to protect England. He said, come along, and I went to him. He was also in a bed and breakfast, like we all were, but we were all doing our bit, and we filled sandbags. And my future husband happened to be there, so we met. Now, the sandbags was really very funny. After the first heavy rain, the sandbags all burst. And London was a sea of sand. You can't imagine. I have no idea. That day I met my husband there. And I met two gentlemen, him and a close friend of his. And we kind of kept seeing each other. And he immediately joined the army, my husband. His brother also was a doctor, and he was already a British subject. So for him it was obviously to join up immediately.
Where had your husband come from originally?
Germany.
Germany.
And so my husband joined the army, and that was it. Whenever he came on leave, we saw, and we became friendly with his brother. It was just, they were all refugees. So that is how I met him, and we got married immediately after the war. He was demobbed from Belgium in October, November, but my divorce was not fully through yet. You had to wait 6 months. There was a time where we got married in March then. And that, came to Scotland.
All right. And when you arrived in Scotland, when you came to Scotland, what age were you?
26.
26 years old.
Yes.
Yeah. How did you get to Scotland and why did you come here?
I was in London and I got married to Scotland.
To a Scottish?
No. Jewish refugee.
A Jewish refugee. And where did you meet?
In London. The day war broke out. In Woburn House, on another occasion, a gentleman was sitting beside me and we got talking. And we had dinner together. And he said he was there to try and get permits for his parents from Vienna. He was Viennese from Vienna. He was there and he has very good connections. But by this time I was 18, it was 38. He can help and do this and that. He pretended to be very friendly with Sir Stafford Crisp, who was very famous in those days. Anyhow, I thought he can do something for my parents, etc. I better not lose this contact because you needed it. And we got married. My father sent over from Holland his brother to come to London to see who this man is. They were not, you know. So this brother, apart from lots of other people, wonderful, wonderful. Well, it turned out he was not so wonderful. He did not say an honest word. And he did not only take me in. He took this brother of my father, who was in his 60s, various other prominent business people. He stole from them all. We got married in December 38, when I was 18, coming up for 19, when I was 18. And it lasted till I was 26. Because I had the greatest difficulties in getting a divorce. The divorce laws were completely different in these days. Very difficult to get a divorce. It took 6 years. The case had to be taken to the House of Lords for the divorce laws to be changed before I could get a divorce.
I'm asking about your social life.
Yes,
when you were in
London. It wasn't very pleasant.
Mainly Jewish or non-Jewish?
Mostly Jewish. I was the odd non-Jewish one. I wasn't selective, but it happened to be.
Yeah. So what kind of things did you do?
We mainly went to each other's houses. We went to the pictures. I mean, money was short with everybody. And heating was expensive in everything. We led a normal life, not like teenagers live now, and we didn't buy clothes or anything, which we didn't need, because you could bring a lot out of Germany. That was one thing you had, that was clothes. So shopping didn't come into it.
So your parents were in Germany?
My parents, by that time, were already in a camp. They emigrated from Germany to Holland, and they were taken to camps from Holland.
Okay, we'll maybe go back over that later. I want to continue with life in London. So you worked in this one job really for a good 5 or 6 years.
Yes, and you were living. I lived together with my aunt in a flat which we had rented. We had no, really, the landlord didn't live in the house, so we had the top floor.
So yes, so after the war finished, you got married.
Yes, that was his little story.
Yes, my goodness. So how, I take it you weren't working at that time then?
Yes, I was.
What were you doing?
I was a secretary in various companies, big companies. First in a textile firm. They were Jewish. Okay. And a very good job, very nice people. The owner of the firm, whom I knew, called me in one day and said, look here, you can stay with us, there's absolutely no question. But if you want to become naturalized after the war, it's not good enough for you. You must have done some war work.
Okay.
So he did it in his best to advise me. I said, thank you very much, I shall do something. And I went to the labor exchange looking for a job. And I said, I'm prepared to do almost anything. I don't want to join the army, which they suggested, the Pioneer Corps. I said, no, thank you. Well, do anything. I go on the buses, or it doesn't matter. Anyhow, they got me a job in a firm in Baker Street, quite convenient. So I turn up, and there are several girls sitting there in a fairly darkish room. And I kind of look around, there's somebody, and they said, oh, don't worry, don't worry. Take your time and do this first, and make up. And I said, no, I'm going to do some work. I got a piece of cardboard this size and a pair of scissors, and I had to cut out round certain circles. Now I thought to myself, I can't do this, driving me nuts. No bus arrived, nothing. I went again the next day, it's the same thing. Now I said, this I cannot do. I asked to see the bus. And there was, oh no, this is only temporary. We are expecting the proper work to come. I said, when is it going to be? Oh, any time. I said, excuse me, in the meantime, I'm really not very keen. He said, that doesn't matter if you're keen or not. I have your papers to the War Office and you are here. Again, I thought, this can't go on. I knew very well a refugee gentleman. He was an expert in pensions. And he was working for the British government. So I spoke to him. His sister actually lived in Glasgow. I spoke to him, and he said, not at all, he said. You go to him, you ask for your papers. If he refuses them, it's just too bad. Then I have to take the matter up with someone else, back the next day.
Yeah. So he told you you're entitled to ask for your papers back?
Yes, I'm entitled to ask for them. He's entitled to hold them. He can send them back to the War Office. You needed permits. Mm-hmm. Go back the next day and tell him. And he was very downtrodden, very kind. By that time he said, now look here. If you stay with me for another, I don't know, 2 or 3 days, because I have very important people coming, and after that, I give you your papers. I said, I'm very sorry. I want the papers now, and if I don't get the papers, I'm just going. That was me. So that was it. I went back. This gentleman told me, you first now go back to the labor office who gave you the job and tell them. Now they were appalled. It was a set-up fund. They were doing tax evasion. That was all they did. There was never any work.
So you discovered it pretty early on?
I was there for less than a week. Mm-hmm. So they were very sorry, but they had been diddled as well. Mm-hmm. Then they were not very careful what job to give me, because I needed to work. Mm-hmm. I then got a job in they made armaments, but also there was the one and only firm in Britain who made perforating machines for passports that had all perforations in it these days. We don't have that now. Mm-hmm. Our passport number was in perforation. Nobody could change it or anything. And they made parts for aircrafts. Wonderful job. Absolutely, completely non-Jewish. So I started my work there, and my immediate boss was, he really ran the place, a Quaker, fabulous man. And he said to me right away, I am so glad you are not working as a secretary. You wouldn't have much work to do, but it's not the thing to do. I stayed with that firm till I got married for 5 or 6 years. Wonderful job.
You were happy there?
Oh, fantastic.
So what was the reason for you and your husband to come to Scotland?
Because my husband had a position waiting for him in Scotland.
How did that happen?
I met my husband and a close friend of his at the same scent-filling party. Mm. They had been partners in a business in Germany, so had their fathers already been partners. Now these two fellows, both are married, in London, and the one never joined the army. He wasn't fond of these kind of things, these other things, and he saw a job advertised by the Scottish Cooperative Wholesale Society, SW. He applied for this position in Glasgow. He went here. He got this position in a textile factory. They had lots of factories, the SCWS. And he made it a condition that when his former partner, who is in the army, gets demobbed, he can join him in this position. So we came to Glasgow.
Excellent.
So my husband went in January 1946 to Glasgow, and we got married in March. I thought everything was wonderful. It was the coldest winter we had since this year.
So looking back over the years that you've lived in Scotland, mm-hmm. what would you say were the highs, the best of times?
We had a very bad spell in Glasgow. We had a very, very serious court case in Glasgow, being dealt with in Glasgow, which was certainly... No, that started in 1952 and finished in 1958. We were under pressure for 6 years, plus a newborn child and a mother-in-law in the house. Yes, it is a business matter. It's nothing. The co-op is so rich. They can do anything. They know you can't do it. They will take the case further. It went to the House of Lords. And we won again. It is something now which is taught to every law student. It is in every book. Yes, it's the law of minorities. Every lawyer knows about it immediately. We worked, as I told you, with the SCWS. Eventually, with their permission and everything, we started our own business together with them. And they had 51% of the shares, and we had 49%, which meant, according to them, we have no say in the matter. But that was changed. The law of minorities was changed. Never must ever anybody do that.
So that was a very, very bad time in your life.
That was till 58. We were under constant pressure. My husband worked all the time, certainly. Came home at night, you looked through papers, you reread things, you know, this kind of thing. And after that, once this was sorted out, we started our own business without anybody else, no partners, no nobody.
Can you tell me something just that occurs to me about all the years that you've lived in Scotland? Have you experienced any anti-Semitism?
No. Really and truly not. I mean, there is underlying anti-Semitism everywhere. This I know.
And what about being involved in the community? Were you involved in Jewish activities throughout all of the years?
Mainly refugees. It is almost impossible, I tell you, to integrate in the community. That is not possible. You will always be a stranger.
So you feel that even within the Jewish community, you still felt there was a sort of sub-community?
Yes. Certainly. Oh, there's no question about that.
Interesting.
There's no question about that. I mean, I've got very good friends in the bigger community, but few and far between.
And do you think that's because of cultural differences, or is it a language barrier?
Language barrier should be overcome by now.
Yes,
you see,
and you speak fluent, excellent English.
An accent you all have. We all have, and you have not gone to school here. You cannot lose your accent. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe elocution would have helped. But who thought of that in those days when you were short of money?
And also, I suppose you bond with people in your earlier years as well.
You know, I mean, that is, I know, but very difficult.
So tell me about, the good times of living here in Scotland. What's been good? What's memorable for you that you think, I'm glad I've been living here?
I mean, I've just had a very happy, comfortable life. My husband was ill for 20 years. He went to the doctor after my 40th birthday, and he died after my 59th birthday. Very heavy going, but marvelous, absolutely wonderful.
So you were very happy. You were happy with him.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, but it was obviously a 20 years.
He had a very big age difference, which I knew from the beginning. And for that reason, he actually did not want to get married to me because of the big age difference. And it took me quite a long time, because my parents had the same age difference, as it happened. 17 years, a long time, 17 years. So you could expect illness, but not at such an early stage. But he was ill, and then he was well again, but he was a fantastic optimist. The minute he was better, he said, "When can we go on holidays?" I said, "Look, let's wait a bit." "Not at all." Very positive.
Have you been back over?
Yes, yes, I've been back over. Yes, we did. And I have been over a couple of times since he died with my son, because he was interested. Some children are simply not interested. They don't want to know. "We're born here and finished." But he is interested, and so is his wife. She is born in London. She comes originally from Vienna, her parents. And she was also interested. So we have been over, and just my granddaughter. So we have been over. And yeah. I have got very good non-Jewish friends in Germany. I went to school with a girl, and we kept friends all the time. So I met another family. They are fantastic over the years. So that we have been.
How do you feel when you go over?
You feel nothing, because the people you knew are not there. You know, it makes you, the people make you at home. Mm-hmm. It's not the house and the bricks, mm-hmm. which in my case stands there. But no, it's not the people. The strange people living in there, they let us in, and they were very nice, and they showed us round, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing. I mean, I've got no feeling for them. I mean, I cannot forgive them. Nobody can, I think.
So can you tell us, during your marriage, did you work?
I worked in our own office. First, I had an agency myself for blouses, because we had a mortgage on the house, and neither of us liked debts in any way. So I worked till the mortgage was paid off. I did not like that particular job. That's different. But after my husband died, more time than I needed, I did voluntary work all the time for the WRVS.
Oh, right. How long did you do that for?
33 years. Mm-hmm. I'm still doing it.
You're doing it just now? Fantastic. Very
good. I'm still doing it every Wednesday.
Where do you do that?
Southern General. Yes.
That's very good.
Southern General. Excellent. We run the tea bars there. I think there we are the only Jewish people. There's nobody Jewish. Not in our department there. Mm-hmm. In all the shifts, there is not a Jewish person. But we are well accepted there. We like the work.
Very good.
Yes.
Excellent. Make good tea.